الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم صدق الله العظيم. Every ayat of the Quran Sharif is filled with blessings, with virtues, with rewards. Every letter of the Quran Sharif is filled with rewards. In the Hadith Sharif, released last time, says that the person who recites one letter of the Quran Sharif, he is credited with one hasana, one blessing, and that is multiplied 10 times. So one letter, 10 blessings. So in Surah Fatiha alone, a person adds it up, it will amount to more than 1,000 rewards that a person will acquire for the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha alone. What about the rest of the Quran Sharif? So every letter has tremendous blessings in it, and the recitation of the Quran Sharif itself is a requirement. Person understands the meaning, that is a tremendously great thing. But a person does not understand the meaning, then to the recitation of the Quran Sharif is a requirement. This itself is something that should be a part of every Muslim life, that no day of his should go by without the recitation of the Quran Sharif. And if we consider how much of things we do read during the course of the day, how many things which will only benefit us in dunya, but there are so many things which won't benefit us anywhere. In fact, are very harmful for us, let alone the akhirat, even in dunya. And yet so many of these things we read, but to recite the Quran Sharif, that somehow we don't find the time for. Whereas this is something that is a requirement. There were many Sahaba Ikram, Hazrat Usman رضي الله تعالى عنه, to recite the whole Quran Sharif in one rakah. There were many, many people in their times that have passed, that would make one khatam of the Quran Sharif daily. In any case, every letter of the Quran Sharif, every ayat of the Quran Sharif is filled with blessings. But there are some parts of the Quran Sharif which Allah Ta'ala has blessed with even greater rewards. And this is in the wisdom and hikmah of Allah Ta'ala, why He has blessed certain parts of the Quran Sharif with greater virtue. So on one occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, that can you not recite 1,000 ayats every night? So somebody replied that 1,000 ayats every night is a bit of a challenge. Some will do it very easily, but not everybody can do it so easily. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, can you not recite Surah Takasur? Al-Haqubut Takasur, Surah Takasur. In other words, reciting the Surah in reward is equivalent to reciting 1,000 ayats. Allah Ta'ala alone knows the wisdom and the hikmah of why this has been blessed with such a great virtue. How long does it take to recite Surah Takasur? Nabi Islam is giving this virtue for the recitation of this surah, such a short surah, doesn't even take half a minute to recite. So such a short surah, half a minute it will take to recite, and the equivalent of reciting 1,000 ayats of the Quran Sharif, there has to be something in it. So what is in it? Allah alone knows the reality. But this apparently is so that a person will recite this Quran Sharif, the surah of the Quran Sharif every night, and keep reminding himself of the message of this surah. Because we are naturally wanting to acquire more. Now either the acquiring of more is only confined to dunya, or a person, his mind now moves towards akhirat, now he wants to acquire more to akhirat also. So he hears this great virtue, The recitation of the short surah is equivalent to the recitation of 1,000 ayats. So inshallah, he will recite it every night because it takes no time, no effort, nothing spent, no money that he has to expend out of his pocket. So what an easy way to get such great amount of rewards. And these rewards, we talk about rewards, this reward and that reward. We can never appreciate what is this reward in dunya. While our eyes are open, and while we can still see rands and cents, we can still see dollars and pounds, we'll never appreciate what is the value of rewards. But when the person's eyes close, and now is only the time of what he has taken along, when a person passes away, everything else gets left behind. He is now himself, his iman and his amal, his deeds. At that time a person will understand what is the value of one reward. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah forbid, when a person has now been called up and with all the mountains of rewards has come, at the same time he has come with various problems and various debts to his account. He has harmed somebody, sworn at somebody, he has been speaking ill of people, making riba, he has usurped somebody's wealth, he has done somebody down in some way. All these people will come and claim on the day of Qiyamah. And that day there is no rand and cents to pay anybody. That day will be the currency of rewards. That day will be the currency of sawab and deeds. And people will be dished out all his good deeds in lieu of whatever they were wronged in dunya. On that day a person will understand what is the value of rewards. What is the meaning and what is the value of one sawab, one hasana. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us this virtue. Allah ta'ala has blessed the surah with this virtue. So that we will recite it every night, we will acquire these rewards, but at the same time we will take the message of the surah every night. So in the surah Allah ta'ala says, Al-Haakumut Takasur. Takasur, one meaning of takasur, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu explains, is the amassing of dunya. Person amassing wealth. And the word takasur has another meaning as well. Both these meanings apply. That vying with one another, boasting, competing with one another for dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, Al-Haakumut Takasur. That this competing with one another for dunya, or this greed of amassing dunya, Al-Haakum, it has made you neglectful. Allah Ta'ala said to us, this has made you neglectful, it has made you unmindful. Neglectful, unmindful of what? Of what the reality is. The dunya is a very, very temporary place. The akhirat is the reality. The dunya is a passing phase. The akhirat is the everlasting place. Dunya is the planting field. The akhirat is here, the thorns of it will catch him in the akhirat. Dunya is the place that a person will plant. Akhirat is the place where he will harvest. So this reality, dunya, is a thing that a person who doesn't understand the reality of dunya will make him neglectful, make him unmindful. It make him forget. Forget what? To start off with, it make him forget Allah Ta'ala. For example, it is now time for salah, but the preoccupation in dunya has become such that salah now is being put aside later. Let's now just attend to dunya first. So now this dunya has become al-haakumut takasur. This has become a means of making a person neglectful. Made him neglectful of Allah Ta'ala. It's a time to pay his zakat. The funds are there, it's available, and he has to make it. But now suddenly at that time something else lucrative has come up. He says, well later, let's just sort this out now. We'll make a turn this quickly, then we'll pay for that later. We'll pay for zakat later. Now this is making him unmindful of Allah. The time for Hajj has come. The person has the means and Hajj is farz upon him. And there is no obstacle. But he's not making any attempt to try and move towards Hajj. And this is becoming a barrier. This is Al-Haakumut Takasur. So it'll make him forget Allah Ta'ala. Then, if he doesn't have the reality in front of him, it'll make him forget his near and dear ones. Sometimes a person gets so engrossed in dunya that it happens at the cost of his family. Whereas the dunya was supposed to be a means of enhancing his deen, a means of making his family happy. But the dunya becomes so overwhelming that the family gets left aside for the sake of dunya. And at the end of the day, what has the person achieved? He's achieved just a whole massing of wealth, but no life. That wealth was supposed to be a means, it was supposed to be a vehicle to take him to a destination. The destination was meant to be that fine, he'll enjoy the comforts of life, maybe he'll have a more comfortable life. Allah Ta'ala hasn't forbidden that. In a halal way, he's acquired something and he's using it for his own comfort, for the comfort of his family, well and good. Then to spend on the service of Allah Ta'ala, to help the poor, the needy, the orphans, the widows, to help those who are in circumstances that are, they are in suffering. So this is what this was meant for. It was meant to now make him earn the akhirah. But instead of this being a vehicle to get to the destination, this became the destination itself. This became the destination, and now a person is just engrossed in that. A person now, he's supposed to make wudu in order to perform salah. Now he's just going on making wudu upon wudu. The time of salah is moving on. The salah came and went, he's still making wudu. He's never going to get anywhere. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, Al-Haqum al-Takazur. It makes a person now forget others. Then it makes him forget himself also. نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. They forgot Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made them forget themselves. Person forgot who he is. He's a servant of Allah Ta'ala. So he's supposed to conduct himself in a way that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased and happy. So now, instead of doing that, the acquisition of dunya makes him do anything and everything, even if Allah Ta'ala's azab comes, he's not concerned. Whether it means cheating somebody, defrauding someone, whether taking somebody's right, whatever it is, but however it comes, it must come. Whereas earning dunya is not forbidden. But within the limit that Allah Ta'ala has placed upon us, we are primarily the servants of Allah Ta'ala. So this is dunya. And dunya is not confined to wealth. The term dunya is not confined to money. Dunya is everything. الدنيا ما الذي ألهتك عن الآخرة. The same word ألهاكم. Dunya is everything that makes a person neglectful of آخرة. And if it is not something that's making him neglectful, then that is a means of gaining آخرة. So sometimes it's wealth, sometimes it's the ego, sometimes it's the crave for power, the crave for recognition. All these things now make a person do things that go totally against deen, against the commands of Allah Ta'ala, in order to gain that recognition, to gain that power, to gain that domination, to gain whatever. And people will, depending on what the situation may be, other people's lives will go just so that I can get what I want. Allah Ta'ala is saying, Al-Haqum al-Takasur. This takasur, this amassing of dunya and this competing with one another in dunya, that person has got something, I have to have something better. That person is driving this kind of vehicle, I have to drive something better. That person has made his house like this, I got to make it something better. He had his wedding, his son's wedding in a certain way, so my son's wedding is coming up, I will show I can do it even better. But that better is in very big inverted commas. That better is 99% of the time worse. Because I have to now entertain people in a more dramatic way. So now, to entertain people, how do we entertain them? Generally, the entertainment is haram. Now he entertained them in some way, I would entertain them in a more dramatic way. So it'd be more harm. This is dunya, al-haakum al-takasur. This is also part of dunya. Now that recognition that I had my son's wedding in a certain way, everybody was very impressed. It's dunya. This is al-haakum al-takasur, this tafasur. This vying with one another, competing with one another. And this is not something that is only confined to a certain level. When a person has reached a certain level of wealth or a certain position in society, it can happen at any level. A person will compete within his own level. And that too makes him get involved in haram. So the issue is to turn the attention totally to Allah Ta'ala. We will live in dunya. Dunya is that water on which the ship has to sail. Without the water, the ship cannot sail. So the ship will sail on water. But the water has to stay under the ship. Arun Rahmatullah Ali gives this example of dunya, that it is like the waters of the ocean. And this insan is like that ship. To sail, he needs this water. But if this water stays under him, then it will benefit him. It will allow him to sail through. But no sooner does this water start coming into it, into the ship, it'll sink it. This dunya comes into the heart, it'll sink the person. Allah Ta'ala says, Al-haakumu al-takasur, hatta zurtumul maqabir. And this just continues till when? If a person doesn't make amends, doesn't take heed, it continues. Allah Ta'ala says, hatta zurtumul maqabir. Until you visit the graves. Visiting the graves, the Mufassirin explained, refers to hatta ya'tiyakumul mawt. Until finally death comes. The person just continues in that cycle, and finally the time has come to leave everything and move on. The Beast Master says, يَقُولُ ابْنُ آدَمَ مَالِي مَالِي. That this son of Adam is around, this insan, is all the time saying, my wealth, and this is mine, and that is mine, that belongs to me, and that belongs to me. And the Beast Master asks, وَهَلْ لَكَ مِنْ مَالِكَ إِلَّا مَا أَكَلْتَ فَأَفْنَيْتَ. Does anything really belong to you? Except that which you have eaten and caused it to perish. So that's gone. That was yours. أَوْ لَبِسْتَ فَأَبْلَيْتَ. Oh, you wore it and wore it. Wore it off. That was yours. You used it. أَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ فَأَمْضَيْتَ. Oh, what you gave in good causes and moved it on. You passed it offshore. Offshore to the Akhirat. We invested it in Akhirat by putting it into charitable causes, in the cause of Deen, in helping the poor, in helping the needy, in helping the destitute, in doing other good works, which become a means of Sadaqah Jariyah. So that now has become yours also. And then Imam Jawahir Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَمَا سِوَا ذَلِكْ فَهُوَ ذَاهِبٌ وَتَارِكُهُ لِلنَّاسِ. Whatever it be, besides these three things, then he's soon going to leave and leave everything behind for others. Then others will either use it, sometimes they'll use it. So, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us a direction to focus towards the Akhirat and to be preparing for the Akhirat. Hatta ya'tiyakumul mawt, hatta zurtumul maqabir, until death. And this death, this remembrance of death, this is what is being told to us here. That remember this is coming. And a person who has this consciousness, who has death in front of him, then he will be able to conduct himself in dunya in the right way. Otherwise, he'll get so involved in dunya that by the time he knows his time has passed. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he gives an example, his time of Hajj, so he gives an example of Hajj also. Says the example of a person going for Hajj. In those days, he would travel by some animal, some horse, or camel, or whatever. So now he's waiting for Hajj, so he stopped. And he is feeding the animal, grazing it. He's washing the animal. And he is now pampering it in so many different ways. And all that is carrying on. And in the meantime, the caravan has moved on. Now he is still feeding that animal and he is washing it and shining it and polishing it and pampering it. And he is not looking at what's going on, that the caravan, they've all moved on. And he is left alone in this desert. And very soon he is going to be left alone to the wild animals. And by the time now he decided that let me now start moving on, the time of Hajj has passed. So the person who is truly intent on going on Hajj, he will also stop to feed the animal. But he fed it, it's eaten its necessity, how much is required, he's given it some water to drink, time is up now, the caravan is moving, he's with it. So by the time it is time for Hajj, he's already there. And he has fulfilled what his objective was. So likewise, insan, he is this, on this journey. And his destination is the Akhirat. And the time is ticking. Now he engages himself to the extent of his necessity in dunya, and he will have time for his objective, he'll reach in time. But if he keeps immersed in his necessities, then he'll forget his objective. This is the example Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah gives, that a person needs to keep his eye on his destination. So Nabi Islam said, Al-Hakum al-Takasur, Hatta Zurtum al-Maqadir, Kalla Sawfa Ta'lamun, Thumma Kalla Sawfa Ta'lamun. That very soon you will know what is the reality. Never, this world is not something to get involved in so deeply that it makes one neglectful. It makes one lose contentment. It makes one lose that satisfaction, because this became the objective itself. Laqit ibn Samira radiallahu anhu, he came as part of a delegation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It became a lengthy incident, but in any case, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came a little while later, so he met them and inquired immediately, did you have anything to eat? They had already been fed. So they said, yes, we have eaten. And he came some short while later and they were still sitting with him. So the shepherd came along and he came with some little lamb that had just been born. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him what has been born, male and female, so he explained. He said, okay, now you slaughter another one in place of this. You slaughter one animal in place of this. So, after he said that, Nabi Sallallahu turned to Laqid bin Sabir radiallahu anhu and the others that were there with him, the rest of his companions. That perhaps they may think that now because we have come, now Nabi Sallallahu is now giving this order to now slaughter one animal, we are becoming maybe a little bit of a burden now, we're going to be staying so long. So Nabi Sallallahu turned to them and said, look, we didn't slaughter this because of you. You are here, this is our responsibility, we will look after our guests. But don't feel that you are becoming any burden to us. Then Nabi Sallallahu explained that we have a flock of 100 sheep. Now this was something that was for the purpose of entertaining these guests that used to keep coming, these delegations that will come one after the other, so that there is something available all the time, otherwise the guest has come and if there's nothing available, it's difficult. When later on in time, when places were now under the Muslim rule, a lot of booty was coming in, this was at that time. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, we've got a flock of 100. And as soon as one additional animal is born, we immediately slaughter one, because we don't want it to go beyond 100. That is the rule. That is the ceiling. So because this now, one animal has been born, one lamb has been born, so therefore now we are still keeping the number at 100. This is the ceiling. Now if we consider within ourselves, irrespective of whether a person has 5 or 50 or 5 million or whatever amount, do we ever have a ceiling? There is never a ceiling. It is always, is there anything more? What more can be acquired? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us this, that there has to be a ceiling somewhere. And then what, after the ceiling, but now things are still coming, the cause of deen is forever there, and there is always this investment of the akhirah waiting. The poor and needy are always there. The destitute are always there. Those who have lesser means are always there waiting for something. But there is some ceiling. There is some place where things stop. Now this is the lesson that has been given to us in this. When a person has this some kind of ceiling in his mind, in his heart, then you will be able to focus on deen. Focus towards the akhirah. So, in this
surah Allah Ta'ala is saying that this continues. Hatta hurtumul maqabir. Kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Thumma kalla sawfa ta'alamun. Kalla law ta'alamun ilma al-yaqeen. Latarawunna al-jaheen. Thumma latarawunna a'ayna al-yaqeen. All these ayat, Allah Ta'ala is saying that day will soon come. And it will come suddenly, where you will see the reality with your own eyes. You will see even the blazing fire of Jahannam with your own eyes. These things were sounding like fairy tales in dunya. Many people unfortunately put forward these kind of ideologies. Jannat and Jahannam are just a state of the mind, na'udhubillah. It is not something that is real, it is not a reality. It is a state of the mind, like a person is sleeping, is dreaming. So somebody is dreaming that he is now the king, and he is now enjoying all the great luxury and comfort of the king, and he's got this huge palace and whatever else, and he's sleeping on this comfortable bed, and at the end of the night suddenly his eyes open, he finds he is where he is. He hasn't gone anywhere. He's still in his simple dream. So it was just a dream. And somebody else is having a nightmare, and he is clearly tossing and turning in the nightmare, even all fallacy. This kind of things are totally against numerous ayat of the Quran Sharif and numerous ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the bounties of Jannat have been described in detail and how the Jannatis will experience these ni'mats. In the hadith of Qudsi, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah says, "A'adattu li ibadi as-salihin." I have prepared for my pious servants, those who don't get caught up in that dunya, those who use dunya, but they don't have dunya in them. They are in the dunya, and they use the dunya, but the dunya doesn't enslave them. So such people who are obedient to me, Allah Ta'ala says, أَعْدَدْتُ الْعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ, which no eye has seen, وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ, no ear has heard of, وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, which no heart can even imagine. Nobody, no matter how he lets his imagination run, imagination, what can stop the imagination? But at a point that imagination also will fail. Because a person can only imagine something that he can relate to. And akhirat and jannat is beyond what he has seen. Beyond everything that dunya can ever give him. How can he ever imagine what is in akhirat? So this is a reality. So one day will come when a person will see this reality. And then Allah Ta'ala says on that day of Qiyamah, but on the one side you see jannat, on the other side you see jahannam. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Allah Ta'ala says on that day, you will be questioned about the ni'mat and the bounties that you are blessed with. Every ni'mat, every bounty that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with, they are innumerable bounties. Person can never count the bounties of Allah Ta'ala. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُهَا. If you try to count the bounties of Allah Ta'ala, you will never be able to do so. Let alone count all the bounties. Count the benefits of one ni'mat, that too is innumerable. Just the benefit of the eye, how many innumerable benefits are in this one ni'mat? How many things he uses his eye to see, and what he learns by means of what he sees, and all the things that he manages to do so easily because he can see. And if he didn't have that bounty and ni'mat of eye, how many things would be close to him? But insan is, how ungrateful this insan is, that eye which is such a great ni'mat. To just understand and appreciate this ni'mat sometimes, person just close his eye, close both his eyes, and try to now work out how can he go about with life. He needs to now just go to the toilet. Suddenly he's lost his sight and love of it. Now he needs to make his way to the toilet, and there's nobody there to help him. He's just suddenly lost his sight. Only the person now has learned how to go about things in time. And what a state he will be. Just this eye, one ni'mat. But how grateful, ungrateful this insan is. This great bounty of Allah Ta'ala. Things that Allah Ta'ala has forbidden him, that is now what he uses his eyes to look at. All the filth and all the haram and all the things that totally pollute the heart. Now this ni'mat and bounty of the eye is being used to look at all this. So, this ni'mat Allah Ta'ala says will be asked about it. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُعَارَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Very your hearing, your sight, and Allah Ta'ala says your heart. all these things you will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah. And on that day, it is a day when there will only be truth, because everything will speak. اليوم نختم على أفواههم وتكلمنا أيديهم وتشهد أرجلهم بما كانوا يكسبون. Allah Ta'ala says that day when you will seal their mouths and their hands will speak and their legs will testify what they were made to do. All the limbs and organs of insan will speak that what it was made to do. So there will be only truth on that day. Nothing can be covered up. So to prepare for that, that this moment is going to come, let me conduct myself in such a way, whatever has passed, to make sincere tawbah from that. And Allah Ta'ala's mercy is so great that a person sincerely repents from the depth of his heart with that resolution not to go back to it. Allah Ta'ala wipes it out, delete button in one go. Unlike dunya, there is still traces of it left in people's minds, and sometimes somebody has forgiven too, but they say, I've forgiven, but I just still can't come to terms with it. Allah Ta'ala's grace is such that it's wiped out, it's gone. And Allah Ta'ala wipes it out by His own command. Doesn't even command the angels to wipe it out. That they also should not have something one up against this servant. That we did you this favor, we deleted it. Allah Ta'ala says, with my grace I wipe it out. With that sincere tawbah. One is that sincere tawbah. And then to conduct ourselves in a way that our record is clean. So that on the day of Qiyamah we are questioned about all these ni'mats, how we use these bounties, the gifts that we have in our physical self, the gifts of wealth, the gifts of all the comforts and luxuries that Allah has blessed us with, and all the innumerable bounties, the very aspect of every breath that we can take. This is something alone we can spend our whole life making sajda. In shukr for this, we can't fulfill the shukr and the gratitude for one breath, let alone everything else. So to become the true and grateful servants of Allah Ta'ala, this is that a person becomes truly obedient to Allah Ta'ala. This is a real gratitude. This requires that we dedicate ourselves to Allah Ta'ala. We learn what is required of us from Allah Ta'ala. We acquire the true knowledge from the authentic sources. And we give time to learn the deen from the right places. At the same time, we make an effort to bring it in our lives. By associating with the pious, with the Ahlullah, by going out on the path of Allah Ta'ala, by bringing and imbibing this iman within our hearts, so that this reality of akhirat is all the time in front of us, the reality of dunya is also in front of us, our focus and destination becomes akhirat.